Hi, family. My name's Luis, and I'm an alcoholic.
Luis.
Just want to take a deep breath. Grateful for a power greater than myself for another day in recovery. So my experience on seven steps, what are we doing? Seven, eight, and nine. So seven is a prayer, right? Ask God to remove those things that are blocking us. For me, anyway, my experience is when I'm asking God to do anything, that's prayer. Step eight is really another prayer. Prayer for willingness to continue further with the work that's been laid out in front of us. Then step nine is making restitution, knocking on doors, money back, mending broken relationships, experiencing a sense of freedom unknown in my life before I actually went through the process of making restitution. That's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight. Boy, before I do that, if I may, I'll try to connect these to the steps. I just came back from Colorado today. For those of you who know me, I love one of the things I discovered in recovery was my love of the West and my love of hiking in the mountains. And I just want to give a piece what I shared, what I experienced the past couple of days in Colorado. I got to hike three successive days, you know, reached a peak at 13,000 feet, and then last 2 days, 14,100, and then yesterday, one just under 14,300 feet. And you haven't come face to face with that inner strength that comes from the Supreme Being to you break the tree line after hiking and humping for 2,000 feet, struggling to get oxygen in your lungs, drinking water like crazy because altitude sickness is a real thing coming from the East Coast. And then you look up and the summit's, you know, still 2,500 feet away, up, you know, escalator in sight. And it's just a remarkable experience to then actually continue it, and then the elation when you're actually at the top. It's just something that I could only experience today. Power of God and way of life that's been given to me by those of you who came before carried this message to me, and our founding fathers who provided us these tools for living, which allowed me to experience something that is just overwhelming. I used to, active life, I used to tell my family, oh, we're going to travel, we're going to this, we're going to do that, we're going to go here, we're going to go there. And in the last 2 years of my active life, I never left the bathroom. Understand? Person trapped in the bathroom. Alcohol took me to other things, and others led me to the bathroom. Stayed locked. With my kids banging on the door, Daddy, I gotta pee. One more minute. Anyway, and then to be at 14,000 feet and seeing out the horizon as far as you can see, and seeing God's grace manifested in His creation. That whole earth is just, yes, I wish I just got struck by lightning. I could have ended on a high note. Anyway, and so how does that tie into the steps? Well, I've always said that the steps are one. They're one thing for me. The steps are that there's one who has all power. That everything about the steps is how do I gain access to that power that solves my problem. And step seven, when I daily ask God, just take me, you know, these are my own words, a paraphrase from the book, take me, you know, take me, all of me, good and bad, see, because I'm in complete touch with my humanity today, thanks to this program. Before I was in touch with nothing, but on wild obsession for the next one, I didn't know what it was to be a human being. My experience to be a human being is to be imperfect, to fall short, see, to have weaknesses, and that's why I feel I need God so much, because without God I would be overcome by all of those things. And when I ask and practice step seven in the sense of this daily request to just take me, all of me, good and bad, I recognize that within myself, in my own perfection, even the Supreme Being can make use of me today. See, I don't have to wait to be perfect, and everything is set just so, and my hair is flowing just perfectly, before I could venture out into the world and show up for life and be of service to another human being. And I think there's a lot of grace in that prayer, see, because I used to live under the delusion that I had to be white as snow. It's pretty tough with my complexion. Before I could show my face. Now I can go forward in life fully aware of the fact that I'm not perfect. Ask God to remove those things which are blocking me from use to Him and my fellow man. I'm acutely aware of my character defects through the housekeeping that we do, continuing growth steps that we practice that I'm not going to say much about tonight, but of course they're all one. And I'm acutely aware of these shortcomings. But I'm also acutely aware that I am powerless because there's one who has all power. No, there's one who has all power. That one is God. Therefore, I have none. I must depend on Him to remove my shortcomings. Now, I know there's out there who will say, well, wait a minute, you know, if you want to move, faith moves mountains, but bring a shovel. I need agreement with that. There's another step, which we can't talk about, which they're all one, which talks about proper use of the will. My will is aligned with His will. All of those things will be revealed as to the things that I should be doing and the actions I need to take if I'm going to be productive and be an instrument of the power that helps me overcome my shortcomings. So, but in the fundamental act, I can't work, quote unquote, work my character defects. Steps instruct me that I ask, prayer, God, move them. See, my sponsor, may he rest in peace, used to say, a person is sharing in the meeting, talking about how they're working on their stealing, hold on to your purse and your wallet. The point he's trying to make, and the point that I share, that I want to share with you, is that I'm just as powerless over my shortcomings as I was over the alcoholism. Me working on stopping drinking proved to be futile. Me working to stop, quote unquote, my shortcomings will prove just as futile if I'm relying on my own power. I have to ask God to remove them. Now, of course, I got to bring the shovel along. Of course, you know, again, that's connected to another step, really. That's why it's really difficult to talk about steps in, what's the word I'm looking for? Abstraction. So that's my experience with step 7. I ask my Creator daily to remove those things, to accept me good and bad. See, and I think there's so much grace in that. There's so much freedom in that forward. See, I had this delusion when I first did my first 5th step way back. I remember, you know, and I really thought the next morning I was going to wake up and everything was going to be like some idyllic, you know, birds chirping and everything's perfect. And you know what? I woke up and the kids were carrying on and this and that and da da da. It was just another day. And I could still get resentful and angry and da 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 da. So thank goodness that I didn't have that beautiful feeling that I experienced in step 5. I didn't think that I had to have, like, put that in a can and carry it with me every day. So that's my experience with step 7. So step 8, part of the cleaning house process, we did a lot of work in step 4, and out of that work came a list, you know, a list of people we harmed, and we're willing to make amends, restitution, right? Restitution, I love that word. And step 8 is simple willingness. Because the book basically tells us, if you don't have the willing to do this, ask until it comes. And again, if I'm asking, I'm praying. My experience, I pray for the willingness. Share a story that I don't share normally in a public forum. I was at a football game one day, and we were parking lot getting ready to start the game, and I was talking about some things that occurred in our lives. One of them is that I have an offspring that I, you know, haven't. Somebody said to me, shout to the kid. It's like, Though there was an amends there to make, but I had actually had the same experience growing up, not knowing my biological father, and I kind of grew up independent of the thought that I needed to lecture with him, and I moved on with my life. And I guess I put myself in this place and thought he obviously must feel the same. After all, that's how I feel. Now, it took me a couple of years to act on that, but thanks to the power of the internet, social media, I was able to track him down. Now, he chose not to want to have a relationship with me, which I respect. He knows who I am and where I am, should he ever wish to contact me. Go on. And what's that have to do with step eight? Well, willingness. I suggested it. I don't even acted on the suggestion because it's on the principles laid out before us in our program. So sometimes there's a big delay in the asking part, I guess. It took me about, I was probably 7-8 years into recovery before I did that. So we ask, my experience is I ask for it to come. If I find myself not willing, I ask. I pray for the willingness to, that's, and you know, so much about our program is about willingness, you know, and that's to me the essence of step eight. Like I talked about one of these weeks, sometimes it's, I'm not willing to be willing to be willing to. So that's my experience with step eight. I ask for the willingness to make restitution. Step nine has, there's a lot of instructions in our program around step nine. I've experienced virtually all of them. But rather than become a very technical discussion about step nine and the X's and O's, tackle plays. The essence of step nine, make restitution, cleaning my side of the street, see, and taking responsibility, my side of the street, not for your side of the street, see, my side, and the freedom that comes about as a result of that, because today, when the phone rings, you know, the phone ringing back in the day meant a whole lot of things. To be living in your own house, well, at that time, apartment, and being terrified of the phone ringing. I'm such a tough guy. I'm not afraid of anything. Da 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 da. Hey, sure you are. A mechanical machine makes a sound and you jump. Because the creditors are hassling me and haggling me and trying to get in touch with me. And just the mere sound of a phone ring, enough to strike terror. See, that's the essence of step nine, freedom. Freedom to walk down the street. When I was active, I lived in a courtyard. There was no through traffic and, you know, a bunch of little garden apartments. Everybody knew everybody's business. And, of course, it wasn't too hard to know my business because I was really loud. And of course, I harmed a lot of people in that courtyard. And, you know, if I couldn't practice step nine to get out of my apartment to walk to the car where it was parked, would have been abject terror. Who I was going to run into, what neighbor I was going to see, what person I had offended in the past. See, I had to make amends to virtually all the people that lived in that court. And that's why I had to look both ways, walk into my car. I never had to, you know, live off of Springfield Boulevard. And it's got its own little community, the barbershop, the news, you know, back in the day before when people actually read newspapers, you know, you go to the newspaper, get the newspaper, and you kind of saw everybody in the neighborhood, Saria and stuff, and you run into your neighbors, right before we all were connected digitally. And to walk to Springfield Boulevard to take my kids to get a slice of pizza and not have to worry about who I was going to bump into, sit in the barbershop. Worry about, you know, what neighbor or what guy I'd offended or what other some stuff that I won't get into that I used to do. So lots of freedom for me in step nine to just a simple thing like walk into the corner and pick a paper. A lot of it had to do, again, with keeping my side of the street clean, not worrying about some of the stuff that went on the other side of the street. I had a dear friend of mine. We knew each other since boyhood. Bill finds it hard to believe I was ever a boy. But back in the 7th grade, you know, I had a childhood friend, and I did some, you know, terrible harms to him. And, of course, I wanted to make restitution to him. Wanted nothing to do with him, you know what I'm saying? had to respect that. Again, part of the experience of step nine was cleaning my side of the street and accepting was. And the way to make restitution, his restitution was he didn't want anything to ever do with me again. Share another one, parted wife, in peace, who I showed her how much I loved her by making her life a living hell with my alcoholism, my destructive nature. I mean, it's just unfathomable the things that went on in our marriage. And here's the thing, the point of this story is this. My ego wants me to know how I harmed you. I want to be able to tell you exactly how I harmed you and how I'm going to fix that. Playing the actor again, trying to be director. But my sponsor told me the immense process is no. It's about being quiet and listening to what the other person has to say. How the heck am I going to know how I harmed you? I'm half bombed out of my head 95% of the time. And then the other 5% completely obsessed with where I'm going to get the next one. I have no inkling what I'm doing to anyone around me. But I have the audacity to come to you and tell you how I harmed you? Cheese and bread. It's just the stuff that goes on between my ears is just, you know, just like a drum beat. So thank God I had a sponsor who was patient but very strong-minded himself. So when I had to make amends to her, I had to listen. You would think with the list of stuff that I had in my head of this unending list of disastrous behavior and harms and foul stuff, all she wanted was just when you say you're coming home, come home. That's what she wanted. So of course, it never occurred to me the terror that I put her through when I'd say, I'm on my way home now. Show up 3 days later. And she had no idea what had happened to the father of her kids and where I was and if I was dead or what. See, I thought it was the womanizing and the burning, going through money like water and all this other stuff that I did. No, just when you tell me you're coming home, I'm home. That's what she wanted. Incredible. So the lesson for me in that was me the immense process to make restitution. I had to be willing to listen to what that person had to say to me. See, damnedest to up to their request. Assuming I wasn't causing harm. Kind of ties into another part of our immense process. There's a little thing in the back of that, just before we get into the promises, and it's very powerful. It says, as God's people, we don't go bowing and scraping. You know, the immense process is not an opportunity to let people to put a kick me in the back sign on the back of your shirt and say, kick me, I'm an alcoholic. It doesn't give license to somebody now to abuse me or to take advantage of me. We don't go bowing and scraping to no one. I think the quote is, we stand on our own 2 feet, something like that. Where the heck is Paulie? He'll tell us later. Is he here tonight? I mean, oh, he went out. Who's going to correct me now? Anyway, I say that out of love. But that's important. I tell you why. Because in making amends to some of my family members, this is going in the public, so I listen to it. But you see, after my wife's passing, I got married within 2 years. See? And I remarried for my own reasons. And I think they were good reasons. My family had other ideas. See? I was, dishonoring the memory of the boy's mother. Wasn't I moving too fast, too soon? But I knew in my heart what I was doing right. Just because I had not behaved as a dutiful son or brother in the past life doesn't mean I was handing over the keys to my life to them in this life. Follow what I'm saying? And my restitution to them and the harms that I had done to them did not include them governing my life, telling me how I was going to run it. Because I have a God of my own understanding to provide me direction. So I love them very much and I would do anything to support them, decision or not. Sometimes sometimes carrying this message means, you know, it's having to stand for something. So step nine, work in step nine. There is work in step nine. That's something you can work on. Now, if you think you're going to work on not stealing or womanizing or whatever it is, no, don't forget about that, because that's doomed to failure. But you can certainly do something about paying that money back. That's something you can work toward. I had to pay back those creditors. That means I had to make some financial sacrifices, right? I had to mend the fences of all my broken relationships, which were virtually all of them. And then I had to learn to be a good citizen of this country, to be a good employee at work, to show up for work every day. I haven't lost a day's work since I got sober, called in sick once. You're talking to a guy who used to use all his vacation time, sick days, and everything else by, you know, Valentine's Day. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and then, of course, then just having to come up with all kinds of excuses, all kinds of deaths in the family, and lost keys, and lost cars, and broken this, and all kinds of stuff. You see what I'm saying? And to me, today, making restitution to my employer is to be an employer full-time. Not to steal from the company I work from. Not like I'm stealing or padding the expense account like they say in the program. There are no expense accounts today in today's corporate America, so I don't know about today. But there is still showing up for work on time. They're still doing a full day's work. That's restitution, my employer. And the program has given me that to make these living amends, you see? Because I believe that, in my experience, there are living amends, you see? You know, my three sons, I have a daughter now, of course. So my three sons and, you know, I wasn't always a good father, and the two older ones in particular who would, of course, still have memories of that, the youngest guy was too much. But, and of course, now he's 19, so he's taller than me. So anyway, you know, there's a living amends there. Be a full-time father, to be fully present. And when they were younger, you know, like, to appease my guilt, you know, it was like, time's for Toys R Us, you know. Just go to Toys R Us, buy whatever you want, you know. Not because it was good for them, because I was trying to appease the hole in me, the guilt I felt. But you see, I learned as being a father to love my sons and love my daughter. It means I love them enough to say no, see. To make hard decisions in a household, not because I want to be popular, but because I know what's to do, what's right. I remember when once I was in sobriety, a friend came up to me and said, boy, you're really strict on those boys. I says, I'm not trying to raise boys, I'm trying to run. It's for boys anyway, it's my boys, they need a discipline. Not discipline like the stern guy with a ruler, but discipline like in a set of strict guidelines that we were going to see, establish that. And of course they're grown now and they're moving on in life, and hopefully I've been a good enough father that they're independent, that decisions are on their own, but yet feel that they come to me in need. My middle son is, I believe, maybe one of us. He's had some trouble with about illness. And, you know, I've had to practice. You know, still making restitution, not to enable him, to try to encourage him and try to set a good example for him, but to understand that I'm powerless and that I'm not going to allow his behavior to harm the other members of the family because I have responsibility to them too. And so what does this have to do with amends? It has everything to do with amends, because my restitution to them was to be the best father I can be going forward. You have to see a picture in my mind when I was active and the school was two blocks from my house and I was trying to get them to school in the morning. A pure chaos. I mean, just chaos. Trying to get them out to school, no book bags, no coats, it's raining out, we're 15 minutes late, it's two blocks from the house. Follow? Pure bedlam. Nobody's eating, they haven't washed, they haven't brushed their teeth, there's nothing that going on. See? And I always remember I was sober a while and they were still young enough, and then I was taking them to school and there was this orderly thing going on in the kitchen, and you know, they're having a hot breakfast, and then everybody's like brushing their teeth, putting on their little backpacks, going to school. You know, that's the fruit of a living amends. And of course, now they've grown to move on in life. I think that's my experience with making amends, the various parts of them. So the spirit of step nine, to have that freedom by repairing the damage done in the past, is very powerful. And of course, the infamous, infamous, promises on step nine. Heck, there are some promises on step 10, which are just as good, if you ask me. But anyway, they don't read those at the end of the meeting. Those promises only come if we work for them. Not if we work on getting the promise. Work, institution. Last thing, and I promise I'll open it up. So the meeting. So what was my amends about going to the mountains? I have to make amends to myself. Not that it's about me, but I'm a human being too. And just because I was a miserable human being prior to my recovery doesn't mean that today I can't enjoy just of God's creation. So while you're out there banging on doors and making restitution and paying the money back, just make sure to still love yourself despite the fact, and again, here's step seven again, despite the fact that you're, and always remember that there's one who has all power. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.